Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is Gerald Wilson, one of the greatest arranger composers that ever was, and the most fabulous individual you're likely to meet. How are you, Gerald?
I'm good, Marion.
It's so nice to see you.
Well, it's nice to see you, and it's a great honor and a pleasure for me to be with you, Marion.
Oh, thank you. I've been having a ball listening to your record, In My Time, which is a good title. Where did that come from? Did you dream that up?
Well, Marion, I have to tell the truth. I didn't dream that up, but the producer of this album on Mack Avenue Records is a man by the name of Al Pryor, and he suggested that title, and I thought it was great.
Well, it's very good, and of course, Sax Chase starts out the album. That's a wonderful piece. And why did you call it Sax Chase?
Well, Marion, if you'll notice, all of the saxophones in this number play solos. So that's five different saxophone players playing, and they chase each other.
Oh, yes. I see.
Yes.
That's what it is. That's a wonderful piece. When did you get the idea that you were going to be an arranger? Were you about five or something like that? Your mother played, didn't she?
Yes, my mother was a pianist, and she was also a school teacher, Marion. She taught school where I attended my first 8 years in school, grammar school. And she started me on when I was about 4 years old, and as she did with my brother and sister. My sister was a classical pianist, so it was music in our house all day long. I knew all about Rachmaninoff because my sister was playing Prelude and C-sharp minor, and she was playing Bach, Brahms, Beethoven. So been around music all my life and just try to learn all I can. And I, back in those days when I was a little kid, about 10 years old, I used to listen to Duke Ellington and Earl Hines and Chick Webb and all the great bands over the radio, and I decided then that's what I wanted to be, one of those kind of people.
So that's when you got yourself a trumpet?
Yes, because my brother was a good piano player. He could play good jazz on the piano, and my sister could play great classical. So I said, I'd like to have a horn because I want to march in the band. I used to see the kid bands come come up. I said, I want to march with a little horn, you know. And so they got me a trumpet, and that became my instrument.
And you were living in Shelby, Mississippi?
Well, Shelby, very small town, Marion, just a few hundred people there. And as I said, my mother taught school there at the school, which she taught there all her life. And she even taught there when it was segregated, and she even taught there after it was integrated. She taught there until she had to retire. And so it was a good thing for me. She let me go. She had to send me away when I was just about 12 years old. I had to go to Memphis, Tennessee.
What do you mean she sent you away?
Well, I had to go to high school. The closest high school was in Clarksdale, and I didn't want to go to Clarksdale. It was only 26 miles away in a small town. But Memphis was a city, so...
You wanted to get away.
I wanted to get away, yes. And where I could get really some training on the trumpet, because that it was there that I got my first trumpet teacher who got me going really good.
Did you think about arranging even then?
Yes, because, see, I was already listening to Duke Ellington, and as I said, I'd hear these fine arrangements by Duke, and you'd hear Earl Hines' band. He had great arrangements with his band. Chick Webb had Edgar Sampson. There were great arrangers, and I decided I wanted to be an arranger and started studying harmony and orchestration, which came a little later. I was lucky enough to, I went to the World's Fair in 1934 in Chicago, and Chicago was such a great city, larger than Memphis even.
Oh, that must have been a thrill.
It was a thrill, and so I begged my mother to send me to Chicago because it was really nice. I didn't have to sit at the back of the streetcar. There were many things you could do in Chicago that you couldn't do in Memphis or Shelby. And she said, well, I can't send you to Chicago, but I can send you to Detroit, Michigan. And I said, well, that's good. That's anyway, as long as it's in the north. And so she sent me to Detroit, and that was a blessing in disguise, Marion. I got a chance to go to Cass Technical High School there.
Yeah, I remember that school. Yeah. I guess I knew people from there, mm-hmm. Cass High School.
Yes.
Billie Holiday played a place called The Flame.
Oh, yes, on John R. Boulevard. I know exactly where it is, yeah, where it was, yes.
Yeah, I used to play in Detroit a lot. Uh-huh. So you were there several years.
I spent 5 years there, Marion, and I studied harmony, orchestration. I had to take piano. You had to take percussion. It was music practically all day, and had such a actually classmates as Al McKibben, one of the great bass players.
Oh, no kidding.
He was my classmate. Wardell Gray, one of the great tenor sax players of all time. We were all there together, Rudy Rutherford and many other great musicians.
So is that the time you went with Jimmy Lunsford?
Yes, you know, it seems as though everything was always in place for me. I got out of school that year and had only been out of school for a couple of weeks, and I got a wire to join Jimmy Lunsford's band. And I called him, and I joined his band.
I think that's funny. I read where somebody handed you a wire and you put it in your pocket, and then you found out the band you were with was closing that
date.
And though you opened the wire real fast and found out it was from Jimmy Lunsford.
Oh, yes. Yes. That was in Dayton, Ohio, Marion. And I had gotten this wire, and I wasn't going to go to join Jimmy Lunsford because this was a fine young band. Snooky Young was in that band, and it had some good arrangers in there. And I told Sammy Lowe, who was with Erskine Hawkins, he was my friend. I knew all of the guys in Erskine Hawkins' band. We were battling them that night in Dayton. And I told him, I said, no, I'm not going to join Jimmy Lunsford. I'm going to stay with this band. And he says, this band is breaking up tonight. And I couldn't believe what he was telling
me. So he said, I'm going to go with Jimmy Lunsford.
Yeah, I ran to the phone as fast as I could get there and called Jimmy Lunsford. Lucky he was home and answered the phone. Said, okay, go down to the station there tomorrow and pick up your ticket. And I have someone to meet you when you get here.
Well, one of the tunes maybe you arranged this for Jimmy Lunsford, On the Alamo, did you?
Yes, I did. And it was just about that time, Marion, that I was getting into orchestrations real good. And it turned out to be one of my best, and Jimmy was very happy with it. And so was the band. They all encouraged me. And before I left, I had probably about 10 numbers in the repertoire.
Well, as much as I would love to hear your version of that, the best I can do is play you a piano version of On the Alamo. Can I do that?
Oh, I'd love to hear you play it, Marion.
I'm thinking of what key I used to do that tune in.
Well, you can probably play it in any key.
I hope I know it. Here goes.
Okay. Beautiful. What a good arrangement.
I
steal some of that. I'll write it again. And I'd love to steal some of the stuff I just heard.
Well, thank you. That's quite a compliment. Yeah. But to tell you the truth, I have not played that tune for an age. And I picked a funny key, F sharp.
Well, you could play it in any key, Mary.
Well, I don't know if I can. So now tell me, do you still play the trumpet?
No. At my age, you know, by the time you get my age, there are very few trumpet players I know my age that play the trumpet. It's the tough little vicious instrument. You blow through this pinhole the size of a pinhead. And after you spend about as many years as I am old with it, it takes its toll. And, of course, I'm eating my Raisin Bran Flakes one morning, and I bit down on what I thought was a rock, and I was told my wife, I says, I'm going to sue Kellogg's because they had a rock in this food, in this bran flake. And I picked up what I thought was the rock. It was my front tooth.
Oh, God.
The one what I had to have to play. However, that was about the end of my career. Just about. My dentist made some teeth they thought I could make it with, but it didn't work out.
You're reminding me of Jimmy, the same kind of thing, Jimmy McPartland, my husband.
I know, great trumpeter. And he played so fine, clean, you know, didn't fluff anything. Wonderful player.
Yeah, he did. And I used to like what he did with the harmon mute.
Uh-huh.
And he would always say, oh, it's too difficult. I would have to nag him to pick up the harmon mute. And when he used that, it sounded more like Miles. It really did.
Well, actually, you know, Miles Davis actually brought the Harmon mute back. It was kind of obsolete, and he takes the tube out, you know. That's what happened. He takes the tube out. He had never used the tube.
See, that's something I never knew.
Mm-hmm. He took the tube. Mm-hmm.
Well, you worked with Miles a lot, didn't you?
Well, you know, Miles and I was friends. We were very good friends. I'd met him. I loved his playing. And, of course, I recorded about three of his compositions, and we became really good friends. I remember when I came here to Basin Street once, and I had all New York band, and he came and spent the whole evening with us. We'd play his Milestone, Freddie Freeloader, and So What, tunes like that.
In fact, I remember when the record came out, Kind of Blue, I think it was called, with Miles Davis, and he had this tune, So What? And, I mean, it was a funny tune, but it was like... In fact, we played that a lot, but you've got that on your big band album. You think we could hear a little bit of that?
Well, sure.
Wanted that tune fast. It's funny, when Miles first played that, it was so slow.
Yes.
And as time went on, they got faster and faster.
Uh-huh.
But...
Well, I'll tell you how that happened, Mary. You know, I did Milestones, and that was also just a medium tempo, but I made it real fast.
And that was...
Yes. Right. Yes.
Yeah.
And then the next time I heard Miles playing it, he was playing it fast like we like we recorded. And then on So What, the same thing happened. So What was very, you know, real slow like.
Very sedate sounding.
Right? And then I made it real fast, and then Miles started playing it fast.
Then he wanted to play it faster than you, of course.
Yes, of course. And he did.
Oh, that's funny. Well, we'll have more in a minute with Gerald Wilson. Our program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR, on the web at pianojazz.npr.org. What about another of your tunes from your record, In My Time? You think we could do that?
Yes.
Like, there was one I liked a lot, mm-hmm. called Dorian, and uh-huh. you have this amazing diminished Triangle.
The diminished triangle, yes. It's from the diminished triangle. Of course, you know, Marion, that we have three diminished chords, and that's 12 notes, and those 3 times 4 would be 12. So we have 12 notes, and that's what we use, 12 notes today. And in Dorian there, however, Dorian is the second note of the scale. Ionian, that's 1. Of course, Dorian is 2 and Phrygian is 3, and we go on with the other things going on there. So that's what I'm using in this part of that scale, the Dorian scale.
Well, I'm dying to hear it.
Okay.
That's a great number, and it goes everywhere. It's very, starts out soft, and, but it really reveals what you're talking about, the diminished triangle, because I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just listening and trying to catch on to what that is all about.
It's like the diminished triangle, as I say, but it gives us the chance to use 8-part harmony. The background, each 8 members of the brass are playing a different note, and there's no doubling or anything. And it gives you just a great sound, and it's full. It makes the band real full.
Well, not everybody does that. Are you, like, the only person that does that particular?
Yes, I'm the only one that I'm first one to ever do that.
It's fantastic. You're too much. You're doing too much. Well, other things. How much teaching do you do?
Well, you know, I've been at UCLA for 16 years, and along with Kenny Burrell there, we're still there. And I also spent 13 years at Cal State Northridge. That's in California. I also spent 6 years at Cal State LA. In all, I've spent 35 years in the college
But then
system.
When you're doing that, what do you do? Do you just take off when you have a date with the band?
Oh, yes. They let me go whenever I want to and get back. But it works out. It'll usually be on the weekend away, and then I teach on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Those are my days. And by the way, Marion, If you're out in California, I want you to come and visit my class. I have the largest jazz class in the world.
I'd love to, and I could probably learn a lot, too.
No, you know all I'm going to be saying. But I have 480 students in my class.
Do you have any examples? Do you play some records or something?
Oh, we have the records by the people who we're talking about. From the beginning of the first record that was ever made, up to everybody I speak of, we play their music there.
What's the first record that was ever made? I'd like to know.
Okay, the first record that was ever recorded was recorded, of course, by the original Dixieland Jazz Band.
Oh, sure.
Yes.
Of course.
And by the way, do you know what number that was? Back home in Indiana.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Boy, that has to be an old tune.
Yes, it is. And a great one.
It's a good tune.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What it got to be eventually, didn't it?
Yeah.
Charlie Parker.
Yeah.
And then I guess you included that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We played the first Indiana ever recorded. Then we played Donna Lee.
Oh,
and
boy.
And we used to sing it with him.
I mean, you must have done your homework. Was Buddy Bolden a guy just in your figment of your imagination, or was he really there?
Oh, he's real. I have pictures of him and everything. He was the king of jazz. He's the first man to ever improvise, and he could play. He was so good that when he would play at the Jackson Park in New Orleans, he'd just go to the window when it's time for him to play, and he'd blow his horn, and all the people in the park would come to where he was. And the funny thing about him, Marin, you might like to know, he only played one job outside of New Orleans, and that was only a few miles away. It was a place called Plaquemine. Then he never played any other place. And his life, in 1907, he never played another note after that. He went to the insane asylum where he stayed for 31 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, never played another note.
I remember somebody had a tune called I Thought I Heard Buddy Bolden Say.
Funky Butt, take it away. Well, you see, he played in a ballroom called the Funky Butt Ballroom. We have pictures of it and everything in the book that I have. It's his life story. Many pictures, photographs of him in there.
That's fantastic.
Fantastic man you must have been.
I've got to make a trip to California just so I can come to that class.
Oh, I'd love it.
Well, we've got more coming up with Gerald Wilson. For more information about piano jazz and a list of the songs played on today's program, visit our website, pianojazz.npr.org. So how about if you would suggest a tune for me to play? Some standard tune that I would know.
Okay. You know, a tune that I like very much is one of my favorite musicians and composers and arrangers. And it's a number called In a Sentimental Mood.
I know you like that tune. I know you like that. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Marion, what a beautiful version you have on that. Too bad you don't do a lot of arranging, because you got so many ideas just popping out of you.
Well, any idea that I have that you like, you can have it, believe me. But you know, I've got a record at home of Duke playing solo piano, and that tune is on it in a sentimental mood. And some other tunes that I really don't know, but it's a wonderful record. I mean, he didn't play solo piano that much, did he? I mean, except like leading into the band.
Yes.
But you wrote a couple of things for him, didn't you?
For Duke Ellington? Oh, I wrote a lot of arrangements for Duke Ellington. 15 in all.
What did you write that, I mean, maybe that I would know?
Well, I'll tell you, first of all, I made a couple of arrangements for him in 1947. Calls me up at about 6 o'clock in the morning.
He would do that.
Yeah. And he said, he went on with the, talked with me, and then he says, I need your help. He says, I need a couple of arrangements. And I says, well, what are they? He says, well, they were his tunes, by the way. One was called You're Just an Old Anti-Disestablishment Arianismus.
Oh, I love that title.
And that was one of the tunes. The other one was a tune called You've Got to Crawl Before You Walk, which featured Ray Nance singing on that particular number. So I said, fine, Duke, I'd love to do it for you. I was really flabbergasted to hear this man called me to ask me to write some arrangement. And I said, when do you need him? He says, we need him tomorrow. I says, okay. And I says, the next day we were ready for Columbia Records. We recorded him on Columbia Records, big. He loved them. He loved the arrangements and everything, and everything went great. And the next time that I had an encounter with the Duke, he called me again at 6 o'clock in the morning. And he says, Gerald, I need a couple of arrangements. And I says, well, okay, when do you need them? He said, 2 o'clock this afternoon. And this is for Capitol Records.
Oh, my goodness.
This is for Capitol Records. So I said, Duke, you got it. I'll be there. So my wife, she does all of my copying for the bands. So I just called her up on the phone. She was over at her mother's house in Glendale at the time. And I said, come on over right away. And I'd be at the piano as fast as I finish my scoring pages. She's putting it down on paper. And at 2 o'clock, we were in the studio ready to record. I wanted to let him know how fast I was. And then the arrangements, I wish I had them here for you to play so that you can hear them. They're two of the best arrangements I ever made. The one was, as I said, one was called Smile, and that was a number written by Charlie Chaplin.
Yes, sure.
And the other number was a pop tune going good at that time. It was called If I Give My Heart to You.
Okay.
If I Give My Heart to You. That's just a pop tune that was going good at that time. That's it. So anyway, I was there ready to go, and he was thrilled with it, and I was too, because I think I made one of the best arrangements I ever had on those two numbers, and the band just played them beautifully.
You write such beautiful stuff. It's, as Duke would always say, beyond category.
that's his famous thing.
But now I thought of something that I'd like to do, and that is to compose a little tune, a portrait of you. Can I try that?
Yes.
I don't know what it'll be like, but it'll be as I see you and as I know you.
It'll be, I'm sure it's going to be
in musical
great.
Terms, we'll see.
Yes. Thank you. Well, Marion, yeah. Marion, you know what? I hope I'm as beautiful as that what you've just composed for me.
You are. You definitely
yeah,
are.
Yeah, you're fabulous, you know. You're fabulous. Just compositions well, like that, you just did it just like that.
Well, playing something for you is a kick, whether it be one of your tunes or one of my tunes or anything. It's just a ball playing for you because I know you're listening.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Listen for every note, and it sounds so good to
well,
me.
Well, thank you.
I'm so happy about that piece you've just composed for me.
Well, it came off fairly well, I must say.
It was beautiful.
Well, there's more to come with Gerald Wilson. Our program is made possible in part by the Friends of Piano Jazz and is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. Visit us on the web and subscribe to our podcast, Piano Jazz Shorts, at pianojazz.npr.org. You've got this great tune on your record, Blues for Manhattan. Wouldn't that be great to play that while you're here in Manhattan?
Yes, I sure wish you would, because I'd sure like for the people to know that I love Manhattan. I love New York City. I lived here for over 5 years. And it's just like every time I come back, you know, I had planned to live here, Mary.
Really?
Yeah, I had planned to make my home here.
Well, and also, you have so many New York musicians on this record.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, I tell you, Mary, we got to know in jazz, if you're going to make it in jazz, you got to come to New York and be recognized.
That's true.
And if you don't, you will never be recognized. So New York's been very wonderful for me. I've played with all of the different bands that I've played with, Count and Jimmy Lunsford. And I just love every time I come back here. It's like I'm coming home.
So now I'm dying to hear this tune again, which I've been playing at home, Blues for Manhattan.
Okay.
That's great. We'll be right back. You know, that tune really epitomizes New York. It's got that easy swing and wonderful solos, very free solo. Ron Blake?
Yes, Ron Blake on tenor sax. Beautiful player there, yes.
You must be very proud of this whole thing.
This album, yes, Marion. This is one of the finest albums I've ever made in my life, because everything gelled here. And as I say, you got to come to New York. New York's the place.
Well, and when you're here, you pick up some of the feeling, don't you?
Yeah, you feel the feeling of the people. They may not speak to you, but this doesn't mean that they don't respect you.
You know, I just thought of a tune that I've got to play for you before you do another tune.
Okay.
It starts New York, New York.
New York. Thank you. Yeah, that's beautiful. What's the name of that?
Lonely Town by Leonard Bernstein.
Oh, beautiful.
That's what that is.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Yeah, yeah. I just had to play it after all the... You were talking so eloquently about New York. Yeah. We could go on like this forever. Unfortunately, we have to wind up the show, and I wanted to play something else from your album, Jerry, which was undoubtedly for your wife or daughter.
Jerry is a composition that I wrote as for my daughter. Her name is Geraldine, and we call her Jerry for short. But anyway, this was a first recorded many years ago. But it was an advanced harmonic number. You'll find harmony in here that you won't even find in bands today that are recording. They haven't caught up with this yet.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of Jerry.
That'd be good.
Well, it's a great ending to the show with a bright, swinging tune dedicated to Jerry. I love it.
Thank you, Marion.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with Marion McPartland and her guest, Gerald Wilson. Join us each week at this time for an hour of conversation and improvisation with Marion and her guests. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson. Recording engineer, Duke Marcos. Assistant Recording Engineer, Tae Kim. Mastering Engineer, David Mitchell. Production Manager, David Lyon. The Executive Producer is Elaine Freeman. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. You can learn more about the artists and music on Piano Jazz and find a link to our free weekly Piano Jazz Shorts preview podcast on our website, pianojazz.npr.org. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Friends of Piano Jazz, Pacioli Pianos, and NPR. Additional support comes from Jazz Times Magazine, providing jazz news, insight, and opinion since 1970. available at newsstands and at jazztimes.com. Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and contributors, which include the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, helping people build measurably better lives, on the web at hewlett.org, and the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, recognizing exceptionally creative individuals. This year's MacArthur Fellows are at macfound.org. This is NPR.